You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35.
Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears God and practices righteousness is acceptable to God.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Glad you're here. Or afternoon or evening or whenever you're watching this. So, Peter finally got it. Like the other lunkheads, it sometimes takes a while, and he admitted it had finally sunk in. God doesn't show favoritism. God opens the door for all people in all nations to seek his will, love, justice, kindness, generosity, all of those things that Jesus expressed in his daily life. I have drawn from a variety of resources on the internet for this sermon, so please ask me if you want to know the citations and read some more. We human beings created a bunch of religions in our efforts to walk through the door God opened. We didn't realize we were expected to simply do justice, do love, do kindness. We had to make it complicated. So we created religions and creeds, the head stuff, to try to figure out and do God's will. We ended up with a bunch of religions that immediately began to try to show why one is right and the others are wrong. We tried to outdo each other. We tried to show why God favors us and not them. Me, not you. But that's not where God is. God doesn't show favoritism for any one of those religions. God is looking for action, for a behavior that reflects doing love, not talking around or about love. Doing love. Our ancestors, and subsequently we, went in the wrong direction. We're totally off track, and now we have to figure out how to get back on track with God's intentions. So Christian nationalism, what is it? Where did it come from? And how do we deal with it? Christian nationalism might be defined as the belief that Christians have been called by God to create a Christian nation. Author Michelle Goldberg notes that according to one Christian nationalist, Christians have an obligation, a mandate, a commission, a holy responsibility to reclaim the land for Jesus Christ, to have dominion in civil structures, just as in every other aspect of life and godliness. Merge Christian and United States identities. Make them one. It's dominion that we are after, not just influence. We got to be in control. Dominion, being in charge of all of life, forcing others to follow our dictates for living and believing. You have to do it our way. Your way doesn't count. And in fact, you have to give up believing what you believe and instead believe what we believe. Do what we do. We have all the answers and you just have to surrender to us. That's Christian nationalism. It's not love, and it comes in several disguises. Attempts to look like love. Jesus is the only way to God, eternal life, salvation. It's him, nobody else, nothing else. Well, let me give you a little history. White Europeans begin to travel to what is now the United States in the late 1400s. They begin a horrible legacy of torturing and killing the native people in order to impose control and the rule of law on them. The white Europeans considered themselves superior, with the inherent right to control and manage Native Americans. Centuries of fighting, killing, torturing, separating children from families, imposing white Christian nationalism on Native Americans. Definitely not what Jesus would do. And today, Christian nationalism is people seeking political power to impose their religious Christian beliefs on others, on all kinds of issues, not just abortion and capital punishment. You hear it on the news every day. Someone seeking political office, quoting the Bible, attempting to influence voters who consider themselves true Christians, combining religion and politics in ways that really frighten me. And trust me, Jesus would be saying, "What? Reclaim the land for me? Are you kidding? What's that all about? And what's this Christianity thing? I'm a Jew. Get out of here. I don't know what you're talking about." Remember, Christianity doesn't get created, invented, recognized until Constantine decreed it the official religion in 313 AD. The awful, terrible path of trying to combine religion and politics / government had begun. 313 AD. Christian nationalism was born. The concept of taking over another's cultural existence in the name of Christianity dates back many centuries, running indigenous people out of Europe and later the United States are two deeply personal examples for us here in the United States. The Crusades, which followed establishment of Christianity in 313 AD, Crusades occurred between 1096 and 1291, almost 200 years. They were a series of religious wars between Christians and Muslims, starting primarily to secure control of holy sites considered sacred by both groups. But in fact, each one wanted to exterminate the other religion in the process of those 200 years of crusades. In all, 8 major crusade expeditions varying in size, strength, and degree of success occurred between those 200, in those 200 years, between 1096 and 1291. The objectives of the Crusades were to check the spread of Islam, to retake control of the Holy Land, and conquer pagan areas. They also attempted to recapture former Christian territories. The Crusades were seen by many of their participants as a means of redemption and expiation for sins. We've been fighting each other for the sake of Christianity for over 1,000 years. David said this in his sermon the last week in February this year. Politicians and churches across the country are promoting what is called Christian nationalism. But what would better be called what it truly is, white Christian nationalism. With one goal in mind, to take power and impose their narrow fundamentalist Christian way of thinking on everyone else. If Jesus were asked, he would laugh in their faces. He was dealing with the same religious nationalists in his day. They just happened to be Jewish instead of Christian. These people are banning books today, criminalizing transgender people, colluding with those who believe more gun violence is the solution to our problems, and choking off women's reproductive rights. Last week, the Southern Baptists just kicked one of their largest churches, Saddleback, out of their denomination entirely. Why? Because they had the audacity to ordain a woman pastor. Their entire agenda is driven by fear and the threat of punishment. They don't know any other way. That's because they're a bunch of Jonahs. Remember David's Jonah sermon? They're a bunch of Jonahs. They blindly embrace their unearned privilege as something ordained of God because, like Jonah, they're so righteous and look down on anyone not like them as obviously deserving of punishment from God. Or from them, if God hasn't gotten around to it yet. Susan Stubson is a pianist, an attorney, and a member of the Republican Party. She recalls helping her husband campaign for the lone congressional seat in Wyoming and meeting up with a God Bless America t-shirt-bearing burly man during a recent campaign. She's very clear that the ugliness she heard from his mouth that day was part of a current of Christian nationalism fomenting beneath the surface. White supremacists loving the Christian God and MAGA belief system are particularly vulnerable to Christian nationalism. She goes on to say, the result is bad church and bad law. God, guns, and Trump is an omnipresent bumper sticker in Wyoming. The new Trinity. The evangelical church has proved to be a supplicating audience for the Christian nationalist roadshow. Indeed, it is unclear to me, Susan, many Sundays, whether we are hearing a sermon or a stump speech. Christians electing candidates who reflect godly values is a good thing. But Christian nationalism has nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with control. Half of the newly elected House members in Wyoming in 2022 were new. At least one-third of them align with the Freedom Caucus, a noisy group unafraid to manipulate scripture for political gain. A freshman member of the State House, Jeanette Ward, invoked a brutally narrow view of the Bible during a campaign to severely limit Medicaid coverage for the indigent in Wyoming. She said, Cain commented to God, am I my brother's keeper? The obvious answer is no. No, I'm not my brother's keeper, but just don't kill him. Her response is emblematic of a Christian nationalist who weaponizes God's word to promote the agenda du jour. A new poll from the Public Religion Research Institute, PRRI, and the Brookings Institution found that around a third of Americans are adherents of or are sympathetic to a political creed that holds that the government should declare this a Christian nation, that being a Christian is an important part of being truly American, and that God has called Christians to exercise dominion over all areas of American society. Moreover, more than half of Republicans support such ideas. But let us remember, in fact, Christ, the central focus of Christianity, is not a king and not a fighter, but an advocate for the downtrodden. His ministry has no apparent interest in nationalism. Indeed, welcoming strangers is one of his hallmarks. Jesus is insistently nonviolent, and almost every gesture he makes is one of compassion. His crime policy states that if someone takes your shirt, you should also give him your cloak. His chief commandment is to love your neighbor. The four Gospels are radical, rich, and deep, but they're not complicated. If you read them and come away saying, I'd like an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, please, you've read them wrong. Some good faith Christians are beginning to rise to the challenge. Not long ago, William Barber told an interviewer, when you have some people calling themselves Christian nationalists, you never hear them say, Jesus said this. They say, I'm a Christian and I say this. But that's not good enough. If it doesn't line up with the founder, then it's flawed. A Baptist layperson named Amanda Tyler, having watched insurrectionists storm the Capitol on January 6, 2 years ago, carrying crosses, heads a group called Christians Against Christian Nationalism, which circulated a petition stating that Christian nationalism seeks to merge Christian and American identities, making them one, distorting both the Christian faith and America's constitutional democracy. Cynthia Astle in last week's United Methodist Insight writes, "Do love, do what is right, as we are admonished in Acts. This has been a tough week for the world. Russia lobbed more bombs on Ukraine and Sudan wallowed in chaos. Extreme weather intensified by the climate crisis baked the Pacific Northwest and flooded Italy. U.S. President Joe Biden left a crucial Indo-Pacific security meeting to negotiate again with congressional leaders about the debt ceiling, while anxious federal employees and pensioners feared the loss of their incomes if the U.S. defaults on its debts. With all these and more crises, it was hard to hold on to the biblical injunction to fear not. Thankfully, this week, two local United Methodist churches countered the prevailing angst by spreading hope with bold ministries. The New York City St. Paul and St. Andrew United Methodist Church held another of its Miracle Mondays, a ministry that began last August when the Republican governors of Texas and Florida began sending immigrants to Democratic cities in a political ploy. St. Paul and St. Andrew, known by its acronym SPSA, has inspired its Upper West Side neighbors to join in a cooperative outreach that is helping hundreds of asylum seekers make a new, safer life for their families. What's more, SPSA's example offers a replicable model for any United Methodist church that wants to fulfill Jesus' admonition to welcome strangers. It's all in the doing, my dear friends. Do love. Do kindness. Do mercy. Do forgiveness. Do, do, do. National boundaries disappear when it comes to being part of the people of God. Our goal isn't to try and create a Christian nation. Jesus would be throwing tables around the room at that notion. Our goal is grander. It is more noble. Our goal is to help people learn to follow Jesus, Gandhi, MLK, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther, Muhammad, the Dalai Lama, and many other mystics that we have known and loved in history. Help people wherever they live, wherever they are, and for us to do love, no matter what soil we were born upon. Do, do, do.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.